Okay, welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
And I'm Katie. That was better.
Fuck Katie. Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah. Nailed it. So, I mean, I guess we are still without Liz, so sorry if you guys miss her. You know, you can say hi to her on our Instagram page and everything. But she'll be back with us soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's right. She's right there on Instagram and Facebook. Say hi. Mm-hmm. Say hello.
Let her know that you miss her. But she'll be back with us soon. But, now we, I'm just going to say it because usually we banter a little bit before, but we are recording a couple episodes on one night. So, we're still on the day that I made my garden.
Yeah. So let's knock out, let's knock out a few just things. Wow. Can you believe the things that are happening right now?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The news has been crazy this week. That meme on Facebook is so funny. I can't believe Netflix got rid of this show. I love it so much. That's about all I got.
Yep.
There's a week.
Hold up, hold up. If any of our listeners watch the show The Rookie and you have watched the season finale for season two, fucking at me, because I need to know how you feel, because what a cliffhanger. What a cliffhanger.
Ooh.
And my life is destroyed.
I haven't watched it.
We need a season three.
But, you know what? I bet by this time this episode is released, maybe I started it. Thanks for the suggestion. The possibilities are endless. I probably have started and finished a book that I ordered on Amazon. I've been meaning to read this forever. My Friend Dahmer.
Katie.
And wait, and today is Thursday the 22nd. I'm getting my hand surgery today. The day that this is released. Yay!
Katie gets her hand
surgery. So if you're listening to this, I'm probably in hand surgery, and you should be sending out great vibes to Katie.
Yes. Also,
and if I'm not getting it means I tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So we're hoping that
we are hoping I'm in surgery right now.
Yes. The show The Rookie, do you know who Nathan Fillion is?
Of course I know who Nathan Fillion is.
Okay. Firefly, Castle, yes. Okay.
Have you heard of the Mona Lisa? Like, yeah. Jeez.
So he is the oldest rookie cop in the LAPD.
Okay.
So, yeah. You're gonna love it. It's really, really good. But I need people to talk to about it. Anyway, following with the trend of my Sybil Ludington episode, this person that I'm going to talk about today, I also heard of because of Drunk History. Fucking awesome. And if you haven't watched it, you should. And Derek Waters is hysterical and amazing. And I honestly wish that I could tell a historical story drunk with him in my living room.
It's such a great combination of history and comedy, which is a rare thing to perfect. Oh no, I'm going to cough.
Uh-oh.
Oh my god, hopefully I didn't test if I've tested positive for corona and I'm not in surgery, these coughs are going to be a whole lot more important.
Oh my god. I don't know, the fact that you have someone who's drunk, so you know, bullshit is coming out of their mouth. I mean, they're telling the story, but also they're super wasted when they go to tell the story. So sometimes it's just like noises, or they can't pronounce the word right and they try to say it over and over again. So then you have these actors who are acting it out and matching with this drunk host's words perfectly. It's amazing. I mean, the skill, everyone on that show is incredible.
It's a much more digestible way to get history, because history can be so overwhelming. And we talked a little bit about that in our last episode, about how history, like, wasn't necessarily your favorite topic, and it wasn't your best topic. And a lot of people are like that, because it's a lot of fucking Johns, and a million Adamses, and a lot of weird numbers that are all the same. It's a lot of It's a lot of white dudes, and they all look the same. It's a lot of white dudes. And they all found the first of something, but they weren't actually the first to find it. It's the same stuff over and over again that they teach us.
Yeah. So this is a much more palatable way.
Much more.
To take in your history. So, in the fashion of drunk history, once again, let me grab my wine glass.
I'm loving this ASMR in the background of the ice cubes in a mason jar.
Your iced coffee?
It's now water, because the color of my pee was very similar to the color of my coffee.
It's very similar to my wine glass.
Oh, no, worse.
Worse. Yeah, I'm drinking a Riesling. It's very good. Mm. So, anyway.
Wine and crime, ladies. I mean, tell us more about that, please.
Yes. So, I can't stop laughing. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'll take that as a huge compliment.
Yes. So we're going to do this again, like I am in the intro of Drunk History. Hi, I'm Ashley Newman. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Emily Warren Roebling.
I like how Drunk History is a touch sassier than NPR voice. Just a smidge.
Yes, just a smidge. Okay, so Emily Warren Roebling, was born, just Emily Warren, on September 23rd, 1843 in Cold Spring, New York. And just so everybody knows, where she is in the same county, Putnam County, as our friend Sybil Luddington. I swear to God, I didn't pick them on purpose because of that, and when I found it out, I was like, shut the fuck up.
I love also, a new... Well, let's be fair. There were not many territories back then.
Yes.
That being said, I love me historical, like a New England historical bad bitch that hyphenates her name.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Mm. You keep your last name.
Oh yeah. So, also, another weird coincidence. She's the second youngest of 12 siblings. Why are we pushing out 12 babies?
Why 12? How 12? What the fuck? Seriously.
My fiance will be lucky if I push out one. Like, who is pushing out 12 babies?
Honest to God, I wish I had looked up the infant mortality rates in the U.S. right now. Because they're terrifying. How are... What the fuck? There's literally...
We have such advancements in medicine, but we have such bad mortality
people
infant rates.
People pooped into buckets and threw it in the street. Like,
but they're popping out 12 babies.
And everyone... And the babies are just living? Like, what the fuck? It's crazy.
All right. So, her socially prominent family roots are traced back to the Mayflower.
Oh, there it is. Socially prominent.
There it is. She was always very interested in pursuing an education, even though that wasn't really a wide option for women at the time. In 1864, during the Civil War, she visited her brother, Governor K. Warren. And I just want you all to know, the governor is not a title. That's his actual name. And it's spelled G-O-U-V-E-R-N-E-U-R.
Oh.
That is his name.
Those pretentious fucks.
You're doing too much.
Jesus Christ. Okay, but there's another correlation to the last case, though. We had governor, and now we have brother governor. I'm going to say
brother governor.
Governor. Son governor. So, jeez, fucking assholes. Governor. I hate that.
So, She went to visit him at his headquarters for the 5th Army Corps, and at a soldier's ball while she was there, she met Washington Roebling.
Is Washington his first name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I know, different, right? I have to say, they quickly fell in love. And he was the son of John A. Roebling, a civil engineer who became the designer of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay, first of all, super awesome. Second of all these fucking Johns. Am I right?
So many Johns.
God so damn. Johns.
So, they were married in Cold Spring on January 18th, 1865. And I wish that I could find these. I think I would actually have to go to the place in person to see these. But apparently there are love letters between the two of them that really showed how much they love each other. And I wanted to, like, read an excerpt of it. But I gotta tell you, I spent, like, 25 minutes Googling that shit. And I found the place that has them. But it's not online. It's, like, in their actual records. Yeah.
Love letters. That's so cute. I know. Now we get dick pics.
Now we get unsolicited dick pics. So that was in 1865 they got married. In 1867, Washington and Emily went to Europe to study a disease called, and I hope this is how you pronounce it, Caisson's disease, often called the Bends, which was a common disease amongst bridge builders. And while they were in Europe, they had one child named, you guessed it, John Augustus Roebling II.
Of course. Wait, the Bends. Of course. Why does that sound familiar?
It's also known as decompression sickness.
Yeah. Is that the thing that you get in scuba? If you come up too fast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And that's because the men were underwater having to build the bridge into the river and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So, I was picturing them just like building tall bridges. And I was still like, no, it makes sense because they're going up.
And they're going up.
It's just the up one instead of the down. No, okay.
God.
Oh my God, oh my so Lord. Badly want to erase that recording of that idiotic moment.
Nah.
But everyone, nope. I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy that.
It'll be super relatable. It's okay. When Washington's father died of tetanus after an accident on the bridge site, he took charge. Yeah.
We have a shot for that he now.
We have a shot for that now. Hi, vaccines, they're good. They do good for people.
But we can't have babies. Anyway, 12 kids.
When Washington's father died of tetanus after an accident on the bridge site, he took charge of the construction as the chief engineer. And then during this time, he developed decompression sickness.
Oh my God.
And became bedridden. So,
didn't they just study that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was no way around it.
I mean, they probably studied it and was like, this water's a weird color, and that's why they got it. It's the 1800s. They probably didn't fully understand.
Who the fuck knows?
Wait, no, did they have submarines back then? No. No, Katie, no.
No.
They did not have submarines back then. Mm-mm. Oh, mm-mm. God.
Boats were still made out of wood.
Yikes, Katie.
After contracting the disease, Washington stated, I thought I would succumb, but I had a strong tower to lean upon. My wife, a woman of infinite tact and wisest counsel. And boy, does she fucking prove herself during all of this, dude.
Damn.
What?
What a thing for him to say.
Oh, I thought you were reacting to my fucking obviously flawless accent.
Yes. I'm too busy to... I'm being moved by the words. Because
by the words, yeah.
It was delivered so flawlessly.
Yes.
Had it not been flawless, I would be distracted by that, but I'm allowed to be...
Yes, I get why she fell in love with him. Yes. It's so very clear that they had such a strong love for each other. So yeah, she really proves herself during all of this. Emily was the only person allowed to visit him during his sickness, so it was up to her to relay information from him to his assistants and report the progress of the work on the bridge.
Okay.
And through all of this, she was able to develop an extensive knowledge of strength of materials, stress analysis, cable construction, among other things, through her husband's teachings.
I mean,
so in a time when education really isn't a fucking thing for women, she's learning so much.
She's getting the education, though. Like, this is the fucking 1800s. It's not like that people are going to architectural grad school and truly learning much more than what she was getting.
Yeah. So... for a decade after her husband fell ill, Emily's dedication to the construction of the bridge was pretty much unwavering. She took over much of the chief engineer duties, such as day-to-day supervision and project management, which is a huge thing. I mean, it's the fucking Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
At the time, it was, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was the first, but it was the largest suspension bridge in the world. She's in charge. She dealt with politicians, other competing engineers, and all those associated with the work on the bridge, to the point where people believed she was behind the design.
Fuck yeah.
I love that so much. In 1882, her husband's title of chief engineer was in jeopardy because of his illness. In order to keep his title, Emily went to gatherings of engineers and politicians to defend her husband. And luckily for the two of them, the politicians responded well to Emily's speeches, and Washington was allowed to remain chief engineer of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Amazing.
Yeah. God. I would just... to be a fly on the wall in those and watching her give these speeches and, like, the words of a woman actually affecting all of these fucking men. Like, God, how satisfying that must have been for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bridge was completed in 1883. Prior to the opening of the bridge, Emily took the first carriage ride across, carrying a rooster as a sign of victory.
I love that.
I love her.
Why is there a significance to the rooster?
I didn't look that up, but I'm sure we can, like, fucking Google that real quick or something. I feel like somewhere in my mind that made sense to me. Like, I've seen it before somewhere. But anyway. At the opening ceremony, she was honored in a speech by Abram Stevens Hewitt, a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from New York.
Hmm.
He said, "An everlasting monument to the self-sacrificing devotion of a woman and her capacity for that higher education from which she has been too long disbarred."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. "The name of Mrs. Emily Roebling will thus be inseparable." Wow. I think I forgot to put the rest. "Will thus be inseparable from the bridge," basically. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, she...
yeah.
"This wouldn't have happened without her," is essentially what he was acknowledging.
Mm-hmm. After the completion of the bridge, I'm mad that I just, like... I'm mad at myself for just not finishing that sentence. After the completion of the bridge, Emily invested her time in several women's causes. Hell yeah, she did, because she's a fucking badass. So, she invested her time in several women's causes, such as the Committee on Statistics of the NJ Board of Lady Managers, Daughters of the American Revolution, there it is again, And Evelyn College, the first women's college in the state of New Jersey, and was the coordinate women's college of Princeton.
Whoa.
How cool is that? Right?
Fuck yeah.
So, right? So this all occurred when the family moved to Trenton. Hey, hi, New Jersey.
What up, Jersey?
My home state. So she also took part in social organizations, such as the Relief Society during the Spanish-American War. She continued her education and received a law certificate from NYU's women's law class in 1899. And when I tell you, they weren't admitting women in for their like regular law classes. So this is fucking amazing that in 1899 she was able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is also known for an influential essay that she wrote titled A Wife's Disabilities, in which she won wide acclaim and awards for. She argued in the essay for greater women's rights and railed against discriminatory practices targeted at women and widows.
Yeah.
How fucking dope is that? She spent her remaining time with her family and kept socially and mentally active until she passed on February 28th, 1903. It makes me very sad that she didn't get a lot of time to use her law degree, because that was in 1899 and then she died in 1903.
Yeah.
I wish she had had more time. Unfortunately, it was pretty much just like a natural cause of death. Her health just kind of failed and kind of went downhill, and then she passed. Today, the Brooklyn Bridge has a plaque dedicated to her memory, her husband, and her father-in-law.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And that is the story of Emily Warren Roebling.
What a fucking badass.
Right?
It's
She is so fucking dope.
It's so cool that she was able to get her law degree. Mm-hmm. It is so incredibly frustrating the fucking amount of shit it took for her to do in order to do that.
Yeah.
I know the answer to the question I'm gonna ask, so again, don't fucking at me. But what the fuck is up with men and the people in charge trying to keep people from getting educated? What is the problem with getting educated? The problem is empowering people who can take their positions. Blah, blah, blah. I know the answer. But God, it's just so annoying. Grow up.
And it's like, it doesn't stop there. Because remember back when we were in Women's History Month, I brought up the fact that fucking Malala was shot in the face because she was trying to be an activist to help women and girls be educated in her fucking country.
Yeah. It's
just so sad. Like, why does it bother men so much that women get a fucking education that they're willing to shoot a bitch in the face? And I'm not calling her a bitch. I'm just...
The fact is, the fact that they need to try so hard to keep women below them by taking away their education and taking away all their rights just goes to show how much men are actually afraid of women.
Yep. Oh, dude, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's literally what I was thinking.
Like,
what? Are you so afraid that we're going to be fucking smarter than you? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes.
It is.
It's
that
true.
That is exactly what it is.
It's the only reason. And there's no...
Oh, does it hurt your fragile ego that I know things?
But even if we, like, even if we take all of the emotion and all of our personal experiences aside, logically speaking, there is no other reason to prevent people from education.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other like...
And it's not even just that. It's like, in any form, anyone who stops someone else from progressing, it is only because they are afraid of that person surpassing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if it's something like, well, I don't want them to move forward because I need them to do this other thing that I need to get done. Well, then you go and do that thing and then go and succeed. Well, I don't want to do that thing.
Well, you go do it yourself, lazy ass.
Yeah, and then the answer is, well, I don't want to do that. Well,
that's like, well,
fuck you.
That's on you.
You need to stop and look into yourself and try and figure out what makes you think that it's her job to do that. Mm-hmm. And the answer can't just be because she pees sitting down.
Yes. Because she has lady parts.
Because she has a vagina. Vaginas aren't necessarily lady parts, and I know that Ashley believes that, and I know that people are going to listen to that. Ashley believes that. We're working on fixing our words. Don't at us.
Yes, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. It's just
it's a frustrating thing because when push comes to shove, the fact that I find certain underwear more comfortable for my vagina does not mean inherently that I should be taking care of your children. And it does not inherently mean that I need to not get an education. There's so many things.
Hell yeah.
That it doesn't make sense. And logically speaking, the only reason for you to prevent me from getting an education is because you're worried I'm going to take something from you. And if that's the case, then you need to better yourself. Because if I if I'm going to get it with an education, maybe that means I deserve it more than you.
Yeah. And in reality, we're not asking for more. We just want the same. We just want the same. We want a fucking even playing field.
I just want to know that if I meet the criteria that you lay out for me or for this situation, regardless of gender, if I meet that criteria, I should be in the running. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people in terms of sports and athletes, and more specifically, trans athletes. I personally don't believe that sports should be gendered. I believe that sports should be entirely based off of performance and skill. Yeah. And then people then get into the argument of, well, then what if a woman enters an MMA fight and she gets her ass kicked? Well, did she meet the criteria?
Like, if she's not in that weight class, then she shouldn't be doing that. And, but if she is in the weight class, then she could do that. And I'm sorry, but there are plenty of men who get their asses kicked. Yeah. So go fuck your stupid argument.
Did she meet the criteria?
Yes or no?
And I'm not saying that there are tons of women who are going to necessarily be able to meet the criteria for male sports. I'm just saying that if they can and they want to, why not let them?
Yeah.
And I think that we should take a good hard look at how we work our sports system now, because I think that that's something to take a look at. If someone meets a certain criteria, they should get whatever is owed to them. And no one should be prevented from what they can achieve because of the gender they identify as, the sex they were born as, the race they are, or the sexuality they are.
I wholeheartedly agree, Kate.
Yeah. Here's my fucking rant that started somewhere else and ended here. Sports shouldn't be gendered.
So,
Emily
pretty
Warren
much
rules.
Emily Warren Roebling, take a hint out of her book and go for what you believe in and what you know you can do.
Yes.
Reach for the stars.
And if you fall, you land on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in this week. We will be back next week with some more fun stuff for you. As always, like, follow, rate, review, do all the things.
We'll add that in another recording.
We're going to make a whole ass recording for that.
All right, friends. Sleep tight. Right. Have a good day.
Bye.
Hop on over to our Instagram, AL2K Podcast, to see any images linked with Emily's story about building the Brooklyn Bridge. Check us out on Facebook, Always the Last to Know Podcast, for basically the same thing. For all those people who aren't on Instagram, I'm sure there's a couple of you. email us, al2kpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns, things that bothered you, anything like that. And last but not least, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Ratings and reviews really help small podcasts like us kind of reach bigger sites, and it'd be really cool to see our name on a list, because I fucking love lists, guys. There was one more thing. Oh! Submarines. They were invented in 1776. So I was feeling really dumb when editing this about did they have submarines in the 1800s? Yes, bitch. Hell yeah, they did. Okay, cool. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye!